Good day, dickheads.
G'day.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the podcast. Look, I was a bit flat today.
You're a bit flat.
It's all right.
Yeah. It's Monday.
I still did my job.
You did your job. You know what? I didn't talk about it. I was a bit flat as well.
Yeah, we're both a bit flat.
Yeah, I was a bit flat. So two was finished.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a, we're allowed to. Yeah. Imagine every time you were flat, you had a microphone in front of you.
That's right.
But the thing you love about Hals and I is we don't pretend to be things we're not.
No.
So if we're flat, we're not going to be going zippity-dee.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing about our job is that we have to keep going to work.
Yeah.
Right, when you're flat. Whereas other people, they can shut a door, pull the blinds down.
And we're not going to lie to you.
No.
So enjoy this slightly down version of the show, but still we coveted anuses.
Yeah.
We didn't covet them.
We didn't covet them.
We did not covet them.
We don't covet anuses.
Well, Christian does.
He covets an anus. We had an intervention
on him. We had an intervention about coveting a listener's anus.
Yeah, he's been coveting anuses all over our socials.
That could be the name of his band.
Yeah.
Coveting anuses. Actually, the Christian Hull unauthorized autobiography written by M. Russiano. Coveting anus. There's that.
Keep your fingers out of our pie, by the way, Christian.
Yeah, Christian's been picking up listeners on the old
cut it out.
Instagram because he's already on 9 other applications. He's got a membership to a website I'm not even allowed to say.
Okay, wrap this up, guys.
He's going to have to get a 3-bedroom apartment so he's got 2 sex dungeons.
There's the name of his book, When One Sex Dungeon Isn't Enough, the Christian Hull story. Enjoy the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you like it, tell your mates.
It's the radio show that starts at 6 a.m. for a reason.
No one should listen to me at 5:15 in the morning.
You are a disgrace.
You've all got yourselves to blame.
Oh, I love you dearly, you big idiot.
Hosted by 2 people who are all about making an entrance.
I imagine the person would be a young gay man. I'm just like spitballing here. And he would pirouette into the room.
Yes.
And then he'd press play on a pink ghetto blaster.
Correct.
And then a song would start playing and then I'll just walk in.
Then he'd just piff rose petals at your head as you walk through. Yeah.
And this happens everywhere I go, like dropping the kids off at school, going to the toilet.
I don't feel like this is a fantasy thing you're talking about. I think like this is a thing that should be done.
This is
the M. Russiano Radio Show
with Harley Bree.
Good morning, Sydney. It is Em and Harley. You're on Today FM. Welcome to the show. We have a huge one coming up. Shane Jacobson's joining us.
Yes.
Matt Preston's
Correct.
Joining us. We have so many favourite things to reveal and give away.
We're giving the whole station away.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Everything must go.
Just be our jobs.
Yeah. It's a fire sale.
Great.
You can have it all.
Alpha Bucks 50K. Another intervention. Look, it's gonna be crack.
It's flat out. It's full.
What's first, Benny? What have we
a
got?
A bit of Marley.
Terrific. We'll see you on the other side. You know what the...
No, but I know who.
...media landscape is missing?
What? My dad used to do that to me all the time. I'd say, do you know what? He'd go, no, but I know who. Boom.
Oh. Gosh.
I feel like the M's face is the face you used to give your dad.
Yes, he was exactly right.
I know what you're thinking, though, that what the movie landscape is missing, and that is a movie about Siri.
Oh, absolutely. I've been waiting for it.
Siri from Apple phones.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the person that gets told to get effed the most in my life is Siri.
Siri.
Because she can never understand me.
Yep.
She would always say, like, take me to the nearest petrol station.
Yep.
And she'll be like, looking up reasons to go to a PlayStation.
Why would you be wanting to go to a PlayStation?
This my phone gets told. Siri gets sworn at more times than anyone else in my life, and that is saying something.
Do you reckon Siri has struggles with depression? Because the world
100%
over, people are telling
this
her.
This poor woman, she gets abused more than any woman anywhere in the world.
In the history of ever.
Of ever.
Yeah.
But don't worry, she's getting her time.
Is she?
She is getting a movie starring, of course, obviously, The Rock.
Right. So she's not. she doesn't even get to be the main actor in it.
No.
It's still The Rock.
The movie titled The Rock X Siri Dominate the Day is a collab between The Rock and Apple.
Man.
We don't know quite what. If you look at the poster, it looks like The Rock is asking Siri how to get to, you know, like, say, I don't know, Tutankhamun's tomb.
Yeah, it looks like he's like going
that vibe,
into tomb.
Like,
and to Mars and into space.
It's like if the any superhero needs to get somewhere, you have with Siri, where's Lois Lane?
Yes.
That's the vibe.
Yep.
But that's not going to happen.
No.
Because if The Rock is asking Siri how to get to places, The Rock's going to end up dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Siri, as we all know, is useless. But The Rock, this is legitimately happening, and this, the joke has been made. Should we ask Siri what is The Rock cooking? Because that's, you know, his catchphrase. You won't know that because you didn't watch wrestling.
No, I
didn't. Before The Rock used to walk out, the announcer would say, "Do you smell what The Rock's cooking?"
Oh, really?
That was his catchphrase.
Why was he cooking? He was about to have a wrestle.
Well, it was that like he was cooking up a victory.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was meant cooking up. Not literal. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The Rocker says this movie's going to be the dopest and it's made to motivate you to get you out there and get the job done. I mean, look, somebody call the Oscars because this thing is
it's going to be the dopest.
The Rock X. What's Times featuring Siri? And it's even got, can you see what's underneath the name? You know the little thing that Siri does when she's thinking?
Oh, yeah.
They've made that underneath, dominate the day. And then there's a picture of The Rock in a leather jacket holding Siri with a plane on his shoulder.
Yeah, and then he's inside his own body painting the Sistine Chapel.
In a cave.
I didn't make that up. Like, he's actually...
And he's also, like, landed an alien spaceship. Like, there's some sort of alien spider.
Yeah, what is that?
He's on top of a space station on top of Earth driving a car with fire wheels.
Yeah. Either this is going to work.
Okay, guys, I've got an idea for a movie. You guys, I have an idea for a movie.
And what's the idea? Everything.
Plus Siri.
In a very simple way, I found out what I would do in a life or death apocalypse situation.
Good.
In the simplest way, I arrived at the airport. I had to park in a special parking area because of where the car had to be returned. And I went to the elevator and I pressed the down button to get so I could get to the terminal. And nothing happened for the shortest amount of time. And I was like, come on. And then still nothing. I could see the numbers up above telling me where the elevator was. And I was like, that's not working. So I walked around the back of where the elevators were trying to figure out what was going on. Then when I came back around, there was a whole group of people there. I was like, where'd you all come from? And the lady, who looked very flustered with a young baby, was standing. She goes, it's just not opening. So they'd been down on the lower level. Oh. The elevator just wouldn't open. There was probably 9 or 10 people all standing around. A couple of the blokes were trying to act like alpha males and hit buttons and make things happen.
That always works.
Yeah.
If something's not coming, just press the button 100 times faster.
Press more buttons.
That works.
So one guy was walking in and out of the elevator just pressing all the different floors. I'm like, well, that's not going to help, is it?
I see, I would have punched him.
Yeah, and I could see that there was in this little group facing their own elevator apocalypse. They were already trying to figure out who the leader was and who was going to take them to safety. And then I just slowly slunk away.
Oh, I thought you set up.
No way.
But you're a fixer.
Do you know what I fixed
you're
my
Mr.
problem.
Fixy fixer.
I jumped the fence.
So in a nuclear apocalypse, you're the guy quickly grabbing the last of the water and shutting the door on the bunker.
That's exactly right, mate. Because there was this huge big fence. I jumped the fence. I hurt my arm, by the way. And then I just walked.
The last time you jumped a fence, you broke your arm.
That's
and you
right.
got it massaged for 6 months.
Yeah.
That fact will never leave me about you.
I love that.
Like, that's the only thing.
But every time you say that fact, it changes. I didn't jump a fence. I just straight up fell over and
it
was 8 weeks.
Oh, I thought you jumped a fence.
No, I was just walking.
The important part of the story is you got your broken arm massage. I always remember that fact.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Anyway, I just know. That
anyway.
I just know
I'm a shit bloke.
Yeah, if nuclear fallout hits, don't come to me because you're on your own.
I don't believe you.
I just ran away.
I know.
But those people can still be there.
They probably are. They're probably still in the lift, just pushing buttons.
Just waiting.
Just one guy just pushing all the buttons.
You know what?
Did anyone see that tall bloke? He looked helpful. Nah, he jumped the fence and flew on to another state.
I'll come back in 2 weeks and go, I've come back for you.
Generous. Teen Vogue's Guide to Anal Sex.
Hello. If you weren't awake.
And good morning.
Now you are.
Yes, the Guide to Anal Sitziwell, is sparking a slew of outrage, including one mother who was so incensed that she, in fact, burned a copy of the mag ceremonially. She set it ablaze. I think if she feels that the only way to get rid of sexually explicit material for her son and daughter to access is by burning a magazine, we need to introduce her to the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, she needs to have a look at the phone that her kids have.
The interwebs are full of anuses.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the magazine posted the guide earlier this month, and they said it's the lowdown on everything you need to know about butt stuff, no matter who you are, whom you're having sex with, or who you want to have sex with. And it was basically a beginner's guide for all the inquisitive teenagers out there who were maybe heading down that path.
Yeah.
Not that path.
The
path to that path.
Well, look, any path is fine that you want to walk down.
Yeah.
As long as it's consensual and there's condoms involved.
Free agreement, consent.
And conception.
And you know what? There is...
Conception?
Contraception.
Contraception.
Not conception.
No conception.
You can have
Contraception. And if you're if you're getting pregnant from a narcissist, well done.
Yeah, you've done a good job.
You put it in the wrong place.
Yes.
This is an interesting... This is an interesting discussion, an interesting debate.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is all of these mothers are saying that this is encouraging and teaching and indoctrinating children into sodomy.
It's really not at all.
You guys, this is happening.
Yeah.
Teens are having sex.
Yep.
And a lot of gay...
And sometimes in the butthole. And
well, if you're if you're a young gay boy,
yes.
And I can't help but think, without stereotyping, young gay boys... Fashion magazine.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure their readership is a lot of young gay boys.
Yep.
And I think it's a responsible thing to do to not
absolutely.
Just this because no, where's the outrage on every Cosmo magazine ever giving you, you know, 10 tips to hot sex involving heterosexual couples?
That's right.
Why is it specifically that the anarsexual? I've made that up, by the way.
I like it.
Anarsexual
is the thing that is upsetting. Like I just think you guys.
Look, I get it as a parent.
It's confronting. Like if I walked in and Odie was sitting on the bus reading an anarsexual,
yes,
I would be
it'd
like,
be confronting. You're like, hey, babe, let's put that down.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go burning books and condemning them for educating kids
because you're not going to change it. And you definitely don't want them to put anal sexual into Google machine.
Don't Google
press
image.
Images.
Anal sexual. Actually, I can't think of a situation where I can't think of any family member where I'd walk in on and be like not surprised. If you're, imagine that's just, there's no one. Like if I walked in and you're sitting there, maybe if Christian was holding it.
That makes sense.
Maybe because
in fact, I'm always
but
confused.
But then I'd be like, don't you know everything?
When he's not holding it.
An anal sexual manual. But, I mean...
If you walked in and Vincey's reading it, that would be...
Oh, this will make you angry. Oh, and I'll say, well, my dad. Well, you know, he's Italian.
What does that mean?
Well, what do they say? The Greeks invented love and Italians added women.
Oh,
is that what people say?
Yeah, sure.
Not me. I mean,
no,
I didn't
you
say,
wouldn't
that
say
personally.
That.
This is my favourite part, and this will make you a bit cross. Elizabeth Johnson, known as the activist mommy.
Is that how you're known, Elizabeth?
The activist mommy.
Oh my God.
Come on, mate.
No.
Come on. So basically, she's just angry lot of the time.
The activist.
She launched a national campaign to urge local stores and public libraries to pull Teen Vogue. She hashtagged pull Teen Vogue. They should not be teaching sodomy to our children.
Well, the teens have been doing a lot of pulling them.
To Teen Vogue for quite some time. Thank you so much.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
With thanks to SodaStream, you can enjoy fresh sparkling water at your fingertips.
Now, today's What's a Superior, it's a goodie. I was researching Em's Gem this morning and came across the year they called Pop's Greatest Year, which was 1984.
Is that so? 1984, the greatest year.
Like, When Doves Cry, Thriller, like, it had, like, you look at what we're dealing with Despacito.
Yes.
And the type of songs, and then you go back to 84 and see the year they had in song releases.
Did you see that article that was sent by Max that there's 9 official Despacitos?
You know what I enjoyed? No. I saw over the weekend, a friend of mine was in San Paolo, and there was a sign on a DJ booth that said, I will not play Despacito. Do not request Despacito.
Excellent.
Can you imagine how many times you'd get asked?
To have to put a sign on.
Oh, my God. To have to put a sign on.
Yeah.
But no, today's What's a Superior is What's a Superior Michael Jackson song.
MJ.
MJ, because he had a few in 84. I mean, it was Thriller. It was amazing.
Yes.
But yes, so then it's in 16 for you. Not 16. We have not changed the number.
Nope.
131060, what's this appearing Michael Jackson song? You could win yourself a SodaStream.
Now, listen, I bet you've had to put a lot of thought into yours.
No.
No? Straight up?
I just have one that's always contentious when I say I think it's better than Thriller and Billie Jean.
Ooh, what is it?
It's this one. I want to love you. I love that song.
Mine is mainly because of what Weird Al Yankovic did with it. It's this one.
Classic. The only type of gang fight should be ones that involve dancing and fake knives.
Yes.
Like in this one. Like he tried. Yeah. Have you seen the film clip?
Yeah.
There's nothing menacing about Michael Jackson throwing a high kick. But they tried to make it menacing.
I'll be honest, I can't remember the film clip.
Remember, they're in an underground car park?
Yeah, I can only picture Weird Al
they're
being.
They're going at each other like this really aggressively. They're doing body rolls and clicks as though it's a gang move. And I love it so much. I love everything about it. I want to join that gang. Yeah. If you just have to do aggressive body rolls and click at someone, I'm already in.
Yeah.
I'm already a leader. Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 131060, what's a superior Michael Jackson song? Obviously, there's a bunch. Hallie and I didn't want to take them all.
Yeah.
I've actually recorded PYT for M's Live Jam as well.
Have you?
Yeah, that's going to be this week. I know, it's pretty exciting. SodaStream up for grabs. We've got everything ready. Give us a call. Let us know the song so we can get them. Just an excuse to play multiple Michael Jackson
songs. That's exactly right.
To make up for what they did to Miley Cyrus's song. Actually, just to make up for everything. All the songs that we play in the next three hours, it's just a way of us saying to you, we know.
Well, we're actually about to play 3 hours of Michael Jackson. So and see you later,
sorry.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
With thanks to SodaStream, you can enjoy fresh sparkling water at your fingertips.
God, I thought that was actually on the crab.
Today we're doing What's a Superior Michael Jackson song. You went with Beat It.
Yeah.
I've gone with Pretty Young Thing.
Yes.
Jason in Colby. Hey, Jace.
It's Black or White.
Oh, yeah. Fun fact, Jace, that is my least favourite Michael Jackson.
Oh, it's your least favourite.
I don't know, I just felt like, why was Macaulay Culkin there?
Was he?
Why did you do some rock? Why don't like, it was? I don't know. I never got into that one. But respect, Jason. Respect.
Yeah.
Cindy in Liverpool, hello. For gangs across the nation, concrete and human relation. It's a Turk. I don't know the word. Turk.
Well, as if
it's
I'm
a turkey.
Know. Don't look at me,
on a global scale. I'm trying to be both sides of the tail. Cindy in Liverpool, what's your favourite MJ song?
I want to rock with you, of course.
Yeah.
Does it have any significance for you, Cindy?
Oh, it's just my go-to jam. You could be sad, you play that song, and that's it. Your day is the best.
All right. Can we pop that on next, please? Lawrence in Kellyville, hello.
Hey, Em and Harley, how are you going?
Good, darling. What's a superior Michael Jackson song?
It's the most underrated one. It's his duet with Janet Jackson, Scream.
Scream.
Oh.
That.
went to work with his sister.
It's hard to tell which one's singing, though. They're very similar voices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop pressuring me. Stop pressuring me.
Talented family.
Good song. I'm going to drive home and just put MJ on. God, that's such a good song. Craig in Penrith.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. What's your favourite?
Ben.
Wow. Ben, you're always running here and there. A love song to a rat.
Was it?
Yeah.
Very young.
He had a pet called Ben.
It's a very young voice there.
MJ.
Yeah.
It only got higher.
As did he.
Craig, what do you have someone who you call Ben in your life specifically?
No. I had a friend called, a family friend called Ben.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, thanks, Craig. Do you see how I expertly skated over the top of that?
Yep.
Thank you. Shondell. Hello, Shondell.
Hi, guys. How are you this morning?
Good, mate. What's the Superior Michael Jackson song?
Look, every Michael Jackson song is awesome, but Smooth Criminal has to be the best song ever. Just got that right amount.
Very good.
Oh, that is good.
Who did the cover of that?
Alien Ant Farm.
Yes.
And it was massive.
Yeah.
I played that as a gem a bit while back.
That's right.
It's one of my faves. It's a weird one for me. Are we still running early?
Yeah.
Can we add in a song?
Yeah.
So can we just play a Michael Jackson song, whoever we
are? I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Anthony in Parramatta.
Did you want Rock With You?
No, I think Smooth Criminal.
Go Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, Smooth Criminal.
Type it in, Luke.
To all the people listening who can play this song, I'm looking at you, Luke. We want Smooth Criminal. Guess who's getting the soda stream?
Smooth Criminal.
Sorry, Anthony.
Hi.
Hey, what's your favourite Michael Jackson song?
Billie Jean.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Hang on.
Oh, Anthony. Does this cause you to aggressively pelvic thrust?
Pardon? Sorry.
How dare you?
Do you ever...
Amelia,
do you know what an aggressive pelvic thrust is?
I definitely do know that. It's like Lee and all that stuff, so...
I definitely do now. Fantastic. Well, we're going to go to Shondell with the... With the SodaStream doll, you can make your water sparkly.
Bubbles.
Thank you so much.
And we're also going to play that very song for you right now.
You are wonderful. I love you both.
Turn it up, babe.
Join you, mate.
We said no to roses and we vetoed the kittens. There's no bloody way we'd give away mittens. But the prizes we've got will not make you whinge. These I am and Harley's favourite things.
Okay, now I'm about to reveal the prize.
Yep.
And then later on you'll hear the jingle. Stop calling. We're not giving it away now.
We're not giving it away right now.
Okay. Now, last week, we had cars, we had trips to Vegas.
Yeah.
We had computers, iPads, shopping
sprees.
Today's prize, Em and Harley's favourite thing is... Whoa.
What is it?
A trip for two people to Fiji.
Holy moly.
Two return airfares, 10 private car transfers, 5 nights accommodation on an island... And daily breakfast.
That's amazing.
That is a good prize.
I will have that, thank you.
I'm trying to book this currently from our next holiday.
I genuinely want that.
Do you know how hard it is to get it? Oh.
Is there laws against us just taking that? Yeah, like, can we just have it?
Daunoru Island.
What if I get a friend to call up?
Oh, that's so against good.
Oh, man.
This is a good prize. You're two people to Fiji. That's everything. It's all covered. You've got to be the first one to call through when you hear the Em and Harley Favourite Things jingle. Donald Trump has, besides putting us on the precipice of World War III with Russia and North Korea, and
what else has he done?
Currently trying to man the own investigation into himself.
He's a flat out Muppet, is what we're saying.
Careful.
Oh, I don't care.
I do.
He's not going to war with me.
But he apparently.
He might come here.
Well, exactly. He was recently interviewed for the Times and the New York Times, and he said that he encountered and had an awkward few hours with the First Lady of Japan,
yes,
aka Abe, And he said, I was seated next to the Prime Minister, and I think he's a terrific guy and she's a terrific woman, but she doesn't speak English.
Right.
So we were sitting next to each other and, you know, I couldn't converse with her. We didn't say anything. She didn't say a word to me, like not even hello. She can't even say hello in English.
You know what? If I was Donald, I would be going, that sounds a bit odd, that the First Lady of Japan... It's a very intelligent country.
Well, and she is known to be quite, like, she's got a lot of things going on for herself.
I bet she does.
Highly educated, and her husband speaks fluent English.
Yeah, I would be skeptical.
You would. And he has a right to be skeptical.
Yes.
Because it was put out by a very astute author and columnist in Jessica Valenti, and she actually saw a keynote address at a high-level gathering on coastal resilience about rising sea levels that the Japanese First Lady gave in English.
It's building high sea walls to shield the coastline. Really, really, the best way for us to take responsibility for our future generations.
Yeah, it turns out she's fine. Can talk English.
She has pretended for 4 hours not to speak English to avoid having to talk to President Trump.
You know what I love too is that she knows, she's not an idiot. She knows that that's going to come out. And she still was like, don't care. Don't want to talk to him.
Like a boss.
just like he's going, hello. And she's literally like, no English. And then goes and give a keynote address on coastal resilience. It's not like she was up there going, yes, how are you? It was a whole keynote address on how we can combat rising sea levels.
A whole speech in English. Have you ever faked to be something else to avoid talking to people?
All the time.
I put on a French accent. I put on a French accent to avoid talking to a girl.
Oh, okay. Hang on a minute. Okay, wait. Yeah. All right. I need to. Where were you when you did this?
I was in Canberra at the Canberra Casino.
Okay.
If you haven't been there, it's not a great place.
And can I hear the French accent you banged on?
I'm not very good at accents.
Did you pick, of all the accents, why did you go with French?
Well, she looked like she didn't speak it, so I thought she'd walk away.
How do you make that summation? Oh, you're a person who doesn't speak French.
Yeah, she looked a bit Spanish, but not French. I don't know. I just went, in my defense, I was introduced that way by a friend because both of us didn't want to talk to this girl. So I was like, this is my friend Harley, but he's from Paris. And I was like, oui, oui. That's about as much as I had, right? That's it. And then she was like trying
really
to talk to me.
Did you really
say oui, oui? Oui, oui. Yeah, because I was agreeing with him. Yes. And then she tried to speak to me and I went, no English. And then, which is absolute horse crap. Most French people speak it. What the problem was is she didn't go away. Hours upon hours.
Well, you two hot Frenchmen who obviously need assistance. I'm not going to leave your side.
I was stuck there just trying to converse with my friend in
baguette,
French gibberish.
Pepe Le Pew. Eiffel Tower. Riding a bicycle. Or with a strappy shirt holding a baguette. Gerard Depardieu. Céline Dion.
A frog leg.
Oh, my God, that's so bad.
Anyway.
Look, as we all know, I take my role as Mother Superior of the show very seriously.
Yeah.
And when a member of staff is having some troubles in their life.
Any member. Any single member.
I don't discriminate on who I give my help to.
No.
Any member of staff. Always watching. Mummy's always
watching. That's right.
And then when I feel like some things are going down that perhaps need correcting, I do one of these.
This is my invention.
It's where she gets to say what she say. Her opinion is free and pretty much on the way.
This is
intervention. Now, I honestly, I'm on the edge of my seat trying to figure out who this could be. Because, look, it could be me. I've just been on tour. Yeah. I've been a bit disheveled, a bit unhinged.
No, you're right, mate.
No, I'm fine.
You're actually usually my favourite person out of everyone we work with.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know. You get it. Well, you know, we're honour amongst thieves.
Just teasing.
I love you too, Ben. You're my second favourite.
Yeah, okay, good.
Everybody outside this room sucks.
Pretty much. You're the only two I know don't talk behind my back. But today we do need to bring in, look, Christian Hull.
Christian
Hull.
Wait, hang on. I was just in the studio asking about the intervention and you said,
Oh, no, we did one on you last week, so it's a new member of the team.
Well, no, I lied. We had to throw you off. Listen, we need to have a little chat.
Come in here, buddy.
So a little chat about some behaviour that I think, look, I think it may affect the show. I think it may, put his mic on.
No, don't put my mic on.
Yeah, put it on. Put your headphones on.
Now,
rip it off like a band.
We both have access to the show Instagram, right?
And by we, you mean you and Christian.
Christian and you don't.
Mate, I'd shut the station down if I opened that up.
Yeah, that's what when Michael Lucas found out I had access to the show Instagram and Facebook, he said, that's a company with a large legal department.
Yes, I check it every 5 minutes to go, okay, nothing I need to delete.
Oh, you check it?
Nothing I need to
delete. You check it for things you need to delete.
Do you check it? Do you check it for things you need to delete?
Oh, what have I not deleted? Oh, God. Yes, I do.
Do you sometimes forget you're in the show Instagram when you're sending direct messages?
No.
Really?
Did you send direct messages?
DMs?
To
I reply to people.
Do you reply? Yeah. Do you often, do you usually give your phone number to people? Oh.
Yeah, it's for, it was content
we
needed.
Do you plan to meet up at 8 a.m. like sick weirdos?
Did I do that on the show account?
Yes.
Someone forgot that they were actually in the Em and Harley Instagram show page and not the Christian Hull private page. And someone picked up a listener.
Yes, just one. I've only ever done that once.
Shall I read out the messages?
Oh, God, wait. Just to give a warning, just a graphic content warning probably coming up.
No.
It's okay.
I can't see the graphic content that you sent, but I know you sent it because of the response after that.
Well, so if I've forgotten
what
to
are you
be
doing
in my
picking
own...
up listeners?
Well, you know, sometimes when you're at home alone.
Yes, sometimes, daily for you.
Yep, you just want to communicate with other
so
people.
So it starts with, it's funny that she said that though, uh-oh, as my name is BJ. Ha 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 ha. We all know what that stands for.
Oh, dear.
Ha ha ha. I don't mind the love hearts. Ha ha. Then Christian's straight in. What's your phone number?
Straight away.
Yeah, because...
Then he sends it straight away. And then you write back, yeah. Awesome, we live close to each other. Oh, well, shoot, you a text.
Uh-oh.
How did you know where he lived?
Because on his profile it... had his supper.
On where? Profile?
Instagram.
On...
Instagram.
Perfect. Not too far from me. Then you've sent him some sort of explicit picture that's been opened. And then, can't wait to hear from you tomorrow. Message me. I start at 8. Should be up by 6.
I'm so embarrassed right now.
So, what's going on? You can't.
I forgot Em has access and can read all this.
You've got to. You cannot.
I'll be changing the password to Instagram.
You
and
cannot
you will no longer
be
have
picking
access.
Up listeners in the show DMs.
How much of this is going on? You've got a lot of different platforms. How many?
Brody's holding up 5 fingers.
You've picked up 5 listeners through the show DM?
No.
He spends most of his day texting people on Instagram.
Brody? I do not. Christian Hull.
No.
Christian. What? You already have Grindr, Tinder, Facebook, Scruff,
yes.
The illegal one I'm not supposed to talk about, the membership to that other one I'm not supposed to talk about. Oh, you use your Airbnb as a pickup service. You're also on the other one, which is, what is the other one, the gay one?
Oh, Mr. B&B.
Mr. B&B.
How do you find the time, mate?
You have 8 platforms. You don't need the show one.
I am tired thinking about it.
So I just want to say, the only platform I haven't used is this current one. So if you are looking and you are single, married, I don't care, call 0410.
Shut it up and lock it down. No more.
Please text the Instagram if anyone looking.
I'm 131060, do you want to go on a date with
Instagram,
Christian?
Instagram, message me. Show account.
Stop it.
Platforms.
Move away from it.
Desperado. You have an issue.
This is our names attached to the show.
This is the guy who couldn't come to work in the last week because he was so tired. Yeah. You know why he's attending to 8 different apps?
Because he's flat out.
Must be exhausting being single and gay and living 2 minutes from the station.
You're going to have to get a 3-bedroom apartment.
I don't know how you do it. God, you're just a busy working mum.
It is exhausting. I'm not going to lie. It's very exhausting.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nikki, sexologist and relationship expert. As a sexologist, I get asked a lot of questions.
When you look at the internet, what images do you look at?
Are we doing it right? Am I normal?
Figuring out whether I want other people in my life to know about this.
There's a lack of permission and education out there.
It depends on the connection you have with people.
Where there's so much information that's needed that here's a platform. platform where I can say all the things that I can't say on air.
So I have one leg that's suspended off the ground.
So this is why I've started Sex and Life. Download me, Dr. Nikki with Sex and Life, podcast1.com.au and the Podcast One app.
We said no to roses and we vetoed the kittens. There's no bloody way we'd give away mittens. But the prizes we've got will not make you whinge. These I am and Harley's favourite things.
We got there in the end. We have a great prize to give away. Trip for two, all expenses paid, to Fiji.
It's amazing.
It's a great one. Crystal in Oakville, hello.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Crystal.
Hey, me? Crystal.
Yes, congratulations, you've won.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
What are you wearing?
Oh, holy crap.
Oh, holy crap. Holy right. crap. I heard
mate,
something
we
else.
Say worse.
Yeah,
I heard holy.
Oh, did you?
Crystal, what are you wearing right now? What are you wearing?
Oh, my God. I'm actually... if you really want to know, I'm actually only wearing a T-shirt. I have no pants on.
Oh, hello.
I was in the middle of getting changed.
I heard you were just wearing a shower cap from someone else.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. Whatever floats your boat. Oh, my God. I am shaking. Oh, my God.
Who are you going to take?
My fiancé. He's seriously going to die. Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, Em.
Yeah.
Em, you sound really sad this morning. Are you okay? Oh, I just really love you.
Everyone, I cannot get away with a thing. No, I'm all right. Can't. I'm a bit flat today, Crystal. But, okay. You know, we all have those days.
We do. I had it last Friday and it sucks.
You know, when you just have a microphone in front of you, it's hard to hide. I'm not very good at pretending I'm not well.
Hey, you are a great actor and you've been doing a great job. It's only Crystal that figured it out.
So it's Crystal. Sorry, Sydney. I'll be right. I'll get there. I was going to tell everyone a little story because we're running early.
Yeah, go on.
So I went into a secondhand shop over the weekend and found a Super Mario that looks like my dad.
You found Vincey.
I found my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm carrying my dad everywhere with me now like some sort of weird voodoo doll. Just like a...
Like an odd Tom Thumb movie.
Yeah, I'm carrying Vincey everywhere. But as I was in the secondhand shop and there was this dodgy guy walking around super dodge and he was greasing off the lady who was serving me.
Right.
And as he walked to the back of the shop, I said to her, look, I don't want to alarm you, but I'm actually quite concerned for you. There's a guy that keeps walking in and out of the shop and he's giving you greasies.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay, what does he look like? And so she has a security monitor and she's looking and I go, he's got short brown hair. He's at the back there with that kind of weird leather jacket on. And she's looked at me and she started laughing.
Yeah.
And I go, what? She goes, no, that's my husband. We're in an argument. I tried to make him go do the food shopping. I'm like, oh, because he looked like he wanted to kill you. I thought that was an amusing anecdote.
That is so. You've tried to be helpful. And
well,
gone,
you should have seen
me. I was
like, no, I'm going to have to make a citizen's arrest. I mean, I really fear for your safety. Did you want me to stay in the shop? My husband's out the front. We can just stay here till he leaves.
She's like, oh, that's okay. My husband's out the back. Yeah.
The guy kept walking in and out like four or five times, like arms crossed and just grazing her. And I'm like, this guy's going to attack this woman when I leave with my Super Mario figurine. So she's just laughing. She's going, no, that's just my husband. He's angry because I made him do the food shopping. Oh, it's just an amusing anecdote for radio, you know.
Oh, it's good.
Coming up
it's
next,
relatable.
We have Shane Jacobson. He's here to whore his book. It looks like a ripper.
Yes.
We'll do that. Joining us in studio now with his new book, Rev Head, My Life as a Motoring Tragic, Shane Jacobson.
Yay! Welcome in, mate. You get
massive
applauded.
Applause from the four of us.
Huge.
Yeah.
You clapped yourself.
I did. I wanted to make it sound a little bit more welcoming.
I
looked around and went, three. That's going to sound a bit S-H-I-T. I might have to...
Shane,
you can say shit.
Do that when I get out of bed.
You give yourself a little round of applause for waking
job,
up.
Come on, Em. I do that every morning.
But just spur yourself on, not to applaud yourself.
That too.
So brilliant
active, what time
just
I
getting
get up?
Vertical.
At 3:47?
Actually, that deserves a round of applause.
Yeah. I wake my kids up and make them applaud me. 5-month-old can't figure it out, though.
He's right.
This morning I was up at, I don't know, 3:45 or something in order to kind of do the radio thing this morning. And my daughter met me. I came out of the shower and was getting Sorry to do this to people at home.
No, the visual's fantastic.
I know, and yeah. we've lost everyone.
But no, it's we don't beautiful. Have to talk now. It's a big bear just with glistening chest hair just yeah. rubbing
like
down.
Like a fur-covered fridge with a head.
I can see it. I love it. I can see it.
So anyway.
Think Gorillas in the Mist opening scene. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Actually, I've just seen the new Kong. Yeah, it's like Skull Island. It's yes. the new Kong.
Great.
Yeah,
yeah.
But anyway, so there I am, the great big hairy thing trying to dry itself. And my daughter comes in at that time of the morning, so she scared the pants off me because I wasn't expecting.
You didn't even have a mom.
I did. Scared the pants back into the chair they were already sitting on. But she's standing there with a blood nose. It was the talk.
So oh, wow. Geez, oh,
I know. And I'm like, what is going on?
That's flat out.
Because I don't do what you do. I don't have to get up this early or earlier every morning. Yeah. So I think your brain's ready to function.
Yes. You're not.
No.
It was so early like, for you. You
that is a hectic.
Where are we? The casino. Have you been in a fight? She's seven.
That is a hectic thing to wake up to.
Yeah, it was
your
busy.
Kid just with bleeding.
Yeah.
Straight up, because you got to be straight up, you got to be into action. Exactly. Jeez, oh,
but
God.
But she's fine, everyone. Everyone, she's fine.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank God. It's a good end to the story. Now, your book, My Life is a Motoring Tragic, is just an excuse for you to be a huge car nerd.
No, but I am a car nerd.
Oh, I know, so I love that you've just been able to secure someone to pay for you to do that, and I respect it.
To talk about stuff
yeah,
I love.
Yeah, that you love.
How many cars have you got now?
Seven.
Yeah, nice.
What do you got?
Yeah. Wow. Look, I like old cars. So I've got E.H. Holden.
Yes.
Is my pride and joy. And, and my favourite car on the earth. It's the one I always wanted. I've got a H.J. Kingswood. So I did a film.
I had a H.J.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone loves the HQ, which I do.
Yeah, HQ gets a lot of noise, but I had the HJ white roof, brown body.
Oh, did you? Really? Yeah. Those colours are a bit of a classic.
Yeah, they were.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, I did a film with Paul Hogan years ago called Charlie and Boots. So,
yes.
So the car, one of the cars out of that film, I grabbed and it's been restored and it lives at the Holden Museum in Echuca in Victoria.
You have a car in a museum?
Yeah. Oh,
that is epic.
That's excellent.
No, next level.
It's so cool, isn't it? And, do you know why you do it? Because they keep it undercover and they detail it for you. It's really
fantastic.
And everyone makes out I'm the hero, but they keep my car pristine.
Any car?
Better than I could ever do.
So this is cheap
it's
power.
Like sending a kid off to boarding school. You're such an amazing parent. I'm a crap parent. We're at home at home.
I love it.
You get to turn up and drive it whenever you want, though. Or do you have to?
You leave it there. I mean, you absolutely can. If you turn up and go, I want my car back, like Veruca Salt, I want it. I want it now.
Nah, Daddy.
You can take it, but you don't.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I've got my daily drive, which is it's the Tossmobile. It's a Porsche Cayenne thing, V8 SUV.
You love it. Don't throw it away.
But it is. It's the Touareg tractor. And then I've got a Land Cruiser Ute. And I've also got a Holden Rodeo Ute. I've got two Utes.
Yeah, you need two Utes.
You do need two Utes, and I'm glad you know.
Sometimes you've got two fridges, mate. You can't have one Ute.
I've got two fridges, too.
Yeah, I have a deep freeze. A wog, of course.
No, well, then three.
Do you put meat in there? Do you have three freezers? Oh, my God, I love you.
The funny part is I had that conversation. I brought the Ute. I live on 6 acres, and so we've got a bit of land, and I had the Ute. And then I've got a few trailers.
Yep.
Big tandem trailer, because I have race cars and that kind of
stuff.
Of
course you do.
And so you need one of those tandem trailers. But the Ute I had, I got because it was cost-effective. So first you do the, I think we need another car. And Fliss is like, how on earth would we need another car?
We already have seven. One's in a museum, dickhead. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're one down. Mm. And she's like, I said, we need a Ute. And she's like, no, that makes sense. Right, yeah. But we've got a Polaris Ranger 6-wheel thing that has a Ute back. I've got a little 4-wheel buggy that has a Ute back. So I've got all these things that
so you've got four Utes.
And we've got trailers. Like I've got three trailers. Yeah. But I actually got Ute across the line, and she went, "No, actually that does make sense. We've got a Ute." And within 3 months of having it, I said, "We need a bigger Ute," because I found one that had a tip. It's got a tipper on the back of it.
Okay, now you.
And she went, "We need two Utes." I went, "No, I didn't say we need two Utes, but you know what? We've now." Got two Utes. We kept it because this is how I got it across the line. We wanted to go to the footy one night and wanted to have a drink. So rather, we actually drove the second Ute down to the train station, left it there, and it's the old crappy Ute. No one's going to touch it.
Yeah.
And then we go into town. We got a babysitter for the night. We went and had a bit of a night out and then come home and then get a cab home. And you don't have to rush back the next day to pick up that
Ute. The old Ute.
It's the old Ute.
God, I'm so confused. The Utes have done my head in. Well, look, it looks good. My life is a motoring tragic. My dad will be reading this one. I only drove in the Celebrity Grand Prix just to make him proud, as I was saying. You've done
Did you make him proud?
No, I got driven off the track by a beauty queen. But I did write off a car. I was the first one in our group to write off a car. Our group wrote off 21 Mazdas out of 23.
Whoa. Oh, you were the group that destroyed the celebrity challenge for all the future reality TV stars.
It was us. It was amazing. We were so proud of ourselves. Not one car was left unscratched. Yeah, it was incredible.
Shane, I'd like to think my book celebrates motoring more than celebrates the tragedy of people destroying cars. We do see eye to eye because we're
see
both
that.
Good people, but we're going to see this book as a different thing.
I see. No, I like it. Revhead, My Life is a Motoring Tragic, available through all good bookstores. Jeremy Clarkson has said, if you read one book this year, it better be one of mine. If you read two, maybe read Shane's.
He did say.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming in, Shane.
My pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
My kids go to, I guess, like a performing arts type situation. They're very, very much focused on that type of things. Also, just teaching kids how to speak in public and handle rooms full of strangers.
Good skill to have.
Great skills.
Yeah.
And Odette, my youngest, is in a speech competition. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, how some of the kids are picking pretty impressive topics.
Yeah.
Some are going, why we need marriage equality, why there should be gender non-specific toilets available.
These kids are 10.
Yeah, these kids
are
10.
It's amazing.
They're all they're all very intelligent. It's a hippie school. And, and so my daughter's picked the topic, why it sucks to be the youngest child.
Groundbreaking.
Odie's really pushing the back because she goes, oh, everyone's doing like topics, you know, change things. And I understand why the pandas need to not be extinct, but it's boring. She said, I don't want to be boring. I want to talk about something. Yeah. Everyone in the room will sit there and think, yes, Odie, me too.
She's focused down and she's gone niche.
Yeah. So she wrote the speech over the weekend and she said, Mum, can I practice the speech in front of you?
Yeah.
And then she did it. It's 5 minutes long.
Excellent.
And after listening to it, it was just 5 minutes of passive-aggressive shots at her father and I. And I've never been prouder. I've got a few little bits of it. The first one, we're going to hear it talk about how she's sick of getting secondhand toys.
Right.
Instead of the toys, you have been given a box of old Barbie dolls missing arms and sometimes their heads.
It's the delivery on, and sometimes their heads.
You're not Orphan Annie, mate.
All right.
You've never been given a box of old Barbie dolls in your life.
You played that at the start earlier in the day at our meeting, and I'm like, oh, cry me a river, Annie.
All right, now, the next one is fair enough. She mentions how she's noticed there's lots and lots of photos of her big sister because she was my first kid. You know how you take all the photos. Yeah. And then the second kid comes around and you're just like, ah.
And cameras, you lose the camera.
Whatever.
You
can't, we've got it on our phones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and Odie's like, why are there no baby albums for me? And I'm like, good point. We should get onto that. Well, she's popped that in her speech.
I challenge you to go home and find two baby photos of yourself. I'm sure there'll be 57 albums dedicated to your siblings, probably some of their hair and teeth. Gross. But hardly any of you. Do you know why? Because the novelty had worn off by the time you came around.
Wow.
Sorry.
What I like too is that she's playing it too. The crowd is her her class. There's going to be first children in there. She doesn't care.
She dresses them. She dresses, but that's not here. But this was my favourite bit where she talks about how science backs up her claims that it sucks to be the youngest.
If you're the youngest child, studies have shown that you're most likely to be obese, have a lower IQ, and be higher risk of disease. Basically, we'll be fatter, dumber, and sicker. How is that fair?
That's my favourite bit.
Basically, we'll be fatter, dumber and sicker.
Oh, I can't wait till she delivers this speech.
Mate, that is brilliant. She wrote it all herself.
She wrote it all herself.
What an excellent
and then
human.
Closes on a call to arms where she says, I'm calling you all to rise up against the stinkers that are your older brother and sisters and take it back. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm raising Stalin.
Revolution.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
You sure are. Hey, Nicola in Watson Bay.
Hey, how are you going?
Good, honey.
Good, mate.
What are you going to do with 50K?
Going to have a wedding and then go on a really good honeymoon.
Yes, yeah, you are.
You are.
All right, yep. We need a Harley. Harley's quiz master for today.
Nicola, your letter is A, right at the top of the alphabet.
A.
Yep. That's all you need to know, and you just need to go with the first thing that comes in your head. You've only got 30 seconds, so you've got to be quick, and we have to take your first answer.
Okay.
Are you feeling positive?
I am positive, but I'm really nervous.
No, don't be nervous. It's fine. Worst case scenario is you'd get $100.
Exactly.
No, you can't screw it that bad. All right, we're going to start the time after the first question. Nicola, here we go.
Okay.
Name something found in a boat.
Anchor.
A famous Australian sports person.
Pass.
A clothing brand.
Pass.
An instrument.
Pass.
A vegetable.
Asparagus.
A Disney character.
Pass.
Something you learn at school.
Algebra.
An airline.
Pass.
A Logie winner.
Pass.
An animal.
Ant.
And a... Wow. Look, you were quick.
This is just awful.
$400.
$400, mate.
Thank you very much.
People have done worse.
That's generous.
Yes.
He just said seven? Who's in the background there? What are you doing? $400 for Nicola from Watson's Bay. Watson Bay. That was
rubbish.
So many passes.
You can't pass. You've got one pass at best, I would say, in Alpha Bucks.
You see me. As soon as one pass goes, I just kind of sit back in my chair and have my coffee. Pass. It's over.
We have been able to get back to the passes in the past, but if you're passing every question.
You're over. You should be here. Just peeking on my podium. It's Em and Harley on Today FM. Tonight, the MasterChef grand finale, 7:30. I'm so excited because I'm like a part-time Patty. I just get in on the end of the bandwagon.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see it. Matt Preston with us now. Matt. Yeah.
No, great to be here. And you're absolutely right. This is the time to join is that end when it's kind of, it comes down to the shock period when, as we've seen, really good cooks go home and you go, how could they get there? That's not right. And now I'm here just to give you that little 3-minute primer on what to watch for tonight. And when people say, oh, you go, yeah, Sarah was amazing in Japan.
You said, no, Sarah's gone home. I go, what do you mean Sarah's gone home?
That's right, you know.
And then the blonde girl who never blinks.
Yeah, Carly.
Carly. Yeah, what the hell?
Unbelievable cook.
Unbelievable.
No, normally the end of the segment is taken up with them getting in a car or, you know, us doing sad things. With her, it was just like 200 dishes she'd cooked that were the notable and amazing. It was like, oh, dear.
What have we done?
Well, and the answer is, well, what we've done is what we always do, which is pick the best two cooks in every cook. And the third one who hasn't done quite such a good job goes home. And that's why Hayden went and that's why Marion went, all these amazing cooks. So the finale is always a good one. But this is like vintage. Because in the old days, the favourites never got through. And this is another one of the ones where the favourites haven't got through.
Nah.
Anything can happen. And, you know, Ben's got mad keen pastry skills. And Diana is, you know, steely and, gee, she cooks some good food.
Ben's got biceps, huh?
Ben, I reckon Ben's got to be the underdog.
Really?
Ben's the one who's going to get the centrefold and the cookbook series. And he's the most marketable.
It's important for a cook to be attractive.
Oh, my Christ. He's so well groomed.
Not if you look at me, George and Gary.
Do you trust a muscly six-pack chef?
Yeah, you do. Oh, well, God, my God, you do. Yes.
Really?
Trust him to hold you in his strong arm.
He can cook for me, Ben.
Oh, yes. Feed me with your fingers.
Dear Lord. Yay.
Oh, let that salty butterscotch sauce just dribble down my chin.
Oh, Ben. Well, I am going to be rooting for Ben. And Diana, of course, the quiet achiever. Look, I was not expecting. I kind of expected Ben because he's been so consistent.
Yeah.
I think Ben probably has a dungeon at home with a mini tramp and a leather cape. I feel like that's the type of man we're dealing
with. That's very niche.
You know what? You know what it is, Harley? I understand your pain. I understand your world. Because, like, no one else visualizes that apart from Emrishiano.
There's no pain in it.
And her weird world.
I think all his shoes are lined up according to when they were purchased.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Did he dress in a meat suit as well?
Yeah, secretly. He has yarn dolls that he's made out of his own pubic hair of the judges.
Oh, who doesn't?
Gee, he'd need a lot of pubic hair to make me, wouldn't he?
He hasn't. Have you noticed that? So we're looking forward to Ben. What are we looking for? I know it's already been filmed, we know.
Okay, all right. So what are you going to look for? You're going to look for three rounds. You're going to look for the first time ever For the first two rounds, they can cook exactly what they want. So in the past, normally it's been structured. It's got to go savoury, savoury, and then a sweet pressure test. Mm. And in this case, they can go sweet, sweet, and then do the pressure test. So that favours Ben for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And you just gotta look at pressure, because the whole thing about this, and this is why people like Carly and Sarah went home, who are amazing cooks. When you got $250,000 and a title on the line, the whole, you kind of go through it with MasterChef. You go, I just want to make, I mean, you'd remember.
Yeah.
From your time. You, I just don't want to be the first person out. Just want to be top 20. Yeah. If I can make it to top 12, top 10.
Yeah.
And you go on the, that's your metier. That's what you're working with. Then suddenly you get to the point where you go, wait a second, there's only five other people left. I could win this.
Yeah.
And the moment that comes in, suddenly you've got something to lose.
Yep.
And that's when the pressure comes on. And you know, we've seen in the last kind of week or so, the pressure has been immense. Ben's nearly broken twice.
Carly broke last night. He's so mechanical on the inside.
He's unbreakable.
The MasterChef Grand Finale tonight, 7:30 on Channel 10. I mean, now this guy, it's all about, as if Ben's not going to win.
Yeah, but you know what it is? Watch his hair. You see, he's sewed together, but then we've seen the glass cover on. The hair goes, and my 12-year-old's going, oh my God, what's happened to his hair? It's always so perfect. And now it's all tousled down his face.
I can't wait. Well, Matt Preston, tonight, 7:30, you've got to go. Your publicist is like, Triple M needs you. So off you go to Hall MasterChef there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Nothing I like better than being a media slut.
Yes!
See you, mate.
On Saturday night, I hosted the Diamond Ball, which was raising funds for the Children's Cancer Institute here in Sydney.
Yes.
And it was a fantastic night.
Yeah.
Started out a bit tough. Yep. I had the head guy from HR come over and say, first of all, who are you? You shouldn't be in here.
Yes.
And then the lady who organises it rushed over and said, oh, no, it's our host. It's our host, Em. And he goes, I know who she is. Oh, bloody love Nova.
Oh, that went well.
I listen to Nova all the time. You guys, I've got 17-year-old sons. They love you.
He knows how HR works, doesn't
he? Like, so I corrected him when I was on stage later at night.
Good.
In front of 600 people.
Good.
And so, good on you, Wally. And his name was Wally.
Of course his name's Wally.
100%.
What a Wally.
Yeah. And then that was fun. The evening went really well. We raised $350,000, which was the target.
Wow.
Because I said we wouldn't be allowing anyone to leave the room, because that was to pay for three scientists to do research.
Yes.
And I said, they're outside, they're in their lab coats, they've got their Bunsen burners, and if we don't raise the $350,000, we're going to have to send them home survivor style.
That's right.
So we did that. And then at about 10 o'clock, it's a six-hour gig.
That's a long gig.
I know.
What are you there that long for?
Oh, and I've donated my fee back like an idiot. So it ended up actually costing me. Like, I have a charity fee I charge because everyone else is getting paid, right? I'm not being an asshole charging a fee. Yes. Everyone else in the room's getting paid.
Yeah.
I just have a reduced rate, and what I normally do, I donate the fee back. And so,
were you drinking?
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem.
I also,
what? What'd you do?
Oh, I donated $5,000 to the Institute.
Oh, come on, mate.
That's fine. Nice. Nah, it's good.
It's good.
Good. And I also did something else that you're about to find out about in the next break. I bullied our boss into drunk buying a painting with our money, with the company's money. She'll be coming in next because I don't have the painting and I think there's some conjecture on who owns it.
Oh, okay.
But Gemma's coming in soon to talk about that. But my husband disappeared about 10 o'clock and I was using, like, I need him. I look to him. He comes to these long gigs and he's my coach in the corner in the boxing rings.
Yep.
Come on, mate, spit in the bucket. You can do it.
You're all right.
He's gone. He's went for like 25 minutes.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. Well, I know now.
What?
And then so I got to the end of the night. We had a nice hotel room.
Yeah.
Away from the kids. You know, I thought we'd go upstairs, aggressively hold hands, whatever happens at these situations.
Yeah.
And he beat me up to the room and because I had to do a bit more thank yous and all that kind of stuff. And I went there and I walked in and he is laying on the bed watching the Tour de France.
Not something you expect to find your husband doing in a hotel room.
Tour de France. And he's like, oh, God, I'm just getting to the end. And when I was here before, you know, this guy was doing this. And Thomas Dickens. There's a writer called Thomas Dickens.
Excellent.
What a dickhead. Thomas Dickens. What a dickhead. and I go, how do you know what was happening earlier? What you were? And I go, is that where you went at 10 o'clock? Did you come up to the room to watch
Tour
de France?
He's ditched out on your event.
He ditched me to come and watch. So I'm like, no, we're in. I fell asleep. I the night ended with me asleep next to my husband, sitting there just in a tuxedo shirt, watching the Bike Nerds.
That's romantic.
He should have been riding me.
To be fair, do you watch a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race and sort of push Scott off to the side most of the time?
Yes.
But when mummy's in the mood, which is a rare eclipse, it's like Halley's Comet. It's like seeing, like, you know what they say, if a woman shaved her legs for the specific purpose of getting lucky, if she doesn't get lucky, a unicorn dies.
Does it? Mm. Oh, that's no good.
Mm-hmm. That's how uncommon.
But it does, in Scott's defence, it is only once a year.
Correct.
The root, not the bike race.
And he missed his shot.
Have to wait another year.
We said no to roses and we vetoed the kittens. There's no bloody way we'd give away mittens. But the prizes we've got will not make you whinge. These I am and Harley's favourite things.
Well, we're on week two, prize one of week two. We're very excited. We're giving away, what are we giving away?
A trip to Fiji for two people, including return economy airfares for two Sydney, for Sydney to Nadoi. Is it Nadoi or Nadi in Fiji? Anyway, you don't have to pay for anything.
The main airport there.
The main airport.
I've never been to Fiji. I really want to go. And I cannot get accommodation.
I don't know how we can rig this so that we get this.
Yeah, I'm trying to, we've got a week off in September and I'm desperately trying to find just an island.
Yeah. Jesus, I'm just a relatable working mum. All I want is an island.
So relatable.
On my holiday.
I'm sorry.
Do you know there's one for sale?
How much?
We
get Gemma to buy.
They're asking $500,000.
Gemma and Jace to buy.
It's off the coast of Queensland.
Can we make that part of our... I think so. We can do something in the show. It's a tax deduction.
Yeah, we could have an island.
Imagine the Em and Harley Island.
Oh, I'm imagining it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There'll be places to take naps. Don't even worry.
Buy the bloody
island. Jace, we're going to buy an island.
They've decreased
it by... Put that on the whiteboard of ideas.
They've decreased it by $200,000. It's been on sale for a year.
That's mean they're basically giving it away.
Yeah. You'll need to buy a boat as well. There's no airstrip.
Don't bore me with semantics.
I need a boat.
Don't bore me with semantics. Melissa. Hello, Melissa.
Me.
That's you. Is it your name?
Get out of town.
Do you live on the Central Coast?
I live on the Central Coast.
That is you. You're going to get out of town,
yay!
Buddy.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Down to Fiji, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My husband and I haven't had a honeymoon and we got married in May because we're broke. So this is awesome.
Aww.
It's like you planned it.
Yay.
Oh, my God. He's going to be so excited.
You get to go on a... It's going to sexy holiday.
Oh, my God. Thank you so, so much. I can't believe it.
Yay.
Oh, that's the best, mate.
You're so lucky. Well done. I know. How's
that? You guys
that?
Are fab. I listen to you every morning. I love you guys.
Oh, good.
You
on
are
you.
The crackers every morning. Seriously.
Oh,
I love you.
So kind. Thanks, Melissa. Thank you. Good. Well, I'm glad you're going. You wouldn't want someone who hated us.
No.
You wouldn't give them a prize.
I don't want them going.
You're not rewarding that kind of behavior.
No. You can stay here.
We're going to be doing this, of course, again tomorrow where we'll reveal another favorite thing. But across the day, still more trips to give away to Fiji with MC and Yabin, a.k.a. Jabin. I'd like to welcome to the stage the most powerful woman in radio, the national content director of the SCA Group, and our boss, the woman who hired me in a dingy cafe in December, my friend, Gemma.
Fordham.
Okay, you should know my name.
No, I know it. He always says it wrong.
Because I stuffed it
so
up.
So I made him do it.
I don't know why the boss is in here, though. Should I be worried?
No.
Did
no,
you
no.
ever be worried?
Nah, I'm never worried.
I don't even know why I'm in here either.
Yes, you do.
No.
Now,
you
on
do?
Saturday night, you attended the Diamond Ball.
Is this another intervention?
Yes.
Oh, this is the first non-Christian Hull member of the team.
No, this may be. Some may see this as a career-limiting move.
Oh, right.
I see it as a career-enhancing move.
Okay.
You were at the ball on Saturday night.
Yes.
At the one I hosted, the Diamond Ball.
Yes, you did a fabulous job.
Correct. And, mate, 6 hours of continuous uppity
much.
up. And there was a guy there, a speed painter. He was amazing. Yep. Guys, this guy can speed paint. He does like 2 minutes, these pictures, and he throws glitter at them.
Really?
And the face appears.
Amazing.
You can imagine why she was excited because anything with glitter and she's all over it.
That's how I get her up in the morning.
Yeah.
Just when she walks through the door and I just pip it right in the face.
Yeah. and he did one and it was David Bowie. And I said to Gemma, we got to buy this.
Yeah.
Please, can we buy this?
I don't think you said that to me. I think you were losing your mind.
I don't imagine you had the manners of please.
Yeah, no.
In your recollection, did I scream buy this bitch?
Yes.
Okay. But we did. We.
I loved the painting as well. Remember, because we were like, this is amazing. Look at this painting. I mean, it's good. Bowie and it's glitter and it's amazing.
I loved it more.
Well, this is debatable, but yeah.
And so you.
So let's continue.
And so you bid and won the David Bowie painting.
Yes.
Congratulations on your new purchase.
No.
Hey, now, this is she's a boss lady.
I don't care. As we all know, I live on the edge. I walk around expecting to be fired every day anyway, so this doesn't change anything. I was my understanding that you bought the painting as a little gift for me to say, hey, you're doing a great job on air. I think you're a really special girl. You're my favourite child. Here's a painting.
Wait.
Okay. Come on, mate.
What's going on?
Okay. Who's got the taxis with glitter on them? Not you.
My face is on it.
Under the hood.
You drove past me the other day. Yeah, it was very confronting.
Totally.
All right, back on track. So.
Look at her trying. Look at her trying.
Have you heard the show?
Is this the first time you've listened?
I sign the paychecks every month.
And thank you very much for doing that.
So let's just get something very clear here. Yeah. I bought the painting using company money.
Who I am a member of the company.
And I made it very clear that the painting is for the company. No, it's...
What for the company?
Because I thought what we would do is we would share it around and everyone would get it. Harley would have a turn with it.
Yeah, I can have a turn.
You care about the painting?
Yeah.
Shut up.
I love Glitter David Bowie done in seconds.
Oh, God.
It's my favourite artist, Glitter David Bowie second painting.
So when you said to me, great, this is going to look great in my house, I was like, whoa. We have a problem.
Are you legitimately saying this is a company purchase and I can't have this painting?
Yes, I am.
I think that's
what?
What do you mean?
I would never have encouraged you to buy it if I thought I had to share it.
I didn't. Wait. It's different if you spent your own money on it or if I spent my personal money on it and bought it for you as a gift.
We would never do that. We spend the company's money.
So it's the company money, therefore it's the company painting. Like everyone might want to turn like Hamish and Andy might love Bowie.
Yeah. No.
Carrie Bigmore likes Bowie.
Shut up, Carrie. She doesn't.
She does. I know she does.
She doesn't.
Well, the way you could fix this, I think, is M gets that painting and then we all get an $8,000 painting, everybody on the network.
See, that's not going to work. That's not going to work.
I'll have a Rembrandt.
No.
Can you get them for $8,000?
All right.
So to start with, I think for the first week it'll go in my office.
Oh, that's convenient.
You're so selfish. You are the most selfish person. I mean, I know you're my boss and the most powerful woman in radio, but I feel like you getting it first is a bit rich. All right, so is it hanging there now? I'll go into your office and have a look at it.
No, because you have the painting because I had to leave early.
I do not have the painting.
You do have the painting. I left and I said to you, I have to go home because we've got to get home to the babysitter. So you need to pick the painting up.
Is neither one of you in possession of the $8,000 painting?
Do you not have the painting?
Do you not have the painting?
No. This is not even funny.
No. I don't have the painting.
I said to you as I left.
What are you doing putting responsibility on me? I had 57 champagnes.
This is like an episode of The Great Race. This is fair. The first one to get to it has it. The first one to get to the painting.
Do you not have the painting?
Don't.
Jay!
This is not funny.
All right, I'm going to leave. I'm going to get that painting first.
Em knows where she's going. She's going to get the painting. Gemma, I'd get your heels on. All right.
Break.
See ya. The Em Rusciano Radio Show. With Harley Breen.